And I'm just going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful piece of scripture. We thank you that it's truth to us, and it will bring truth to us if we receive it correctly. And we just pray, lovely Holy Spirit, we invite you here this morning. We invite you to come and teach us what your word says to our heart, and find the very intention of our heart to move us in order that we might reflect the very beauty of a holy, holy, holy God. And we just pray that you would come right now in your precious, precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Before, as I was getting ready to do this talk, I'd just been reading Hebrews 2 verse 1 about paying close attention and not drifting away really from the truth and from the gospel. And a very, very important, a very important message in this day and age, as the gospel seems to be getting trodden out of the churches. And this is not a church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is getting trodden out, because we love the gospel of good news, and it's the gospel that came to save us, but the gospel that brings power and joy and peace over our lives every day. So when I say to you to pay attention and pay close attention, will you please do that this morning? Because if we get this the wrong way around, we're not going to be Christians that are effective. And we want to be Christians that are effective. And if you don't know Jesus today, there will be a point in this service, as I'm speaking about what Jesus did, that you may make that decision to have life, and life all in its fullness. Because I know what life without Jesus was like, and I know what life with Jesus is like, because it has made such a difference to my life. And so if you see that I'm excited, and if you see that I'm passionate like these people here are, you'll know it's because of what God's done for us. So this piece of scripture is very practical, and I love the way Paul gives us practical application. So it's very practical, but it has got such a wealth of spirituality in it. It's got a wealth that comes and does something to our very soul, that if we receive it rightly, it will transform us to never be the same again. And so we need to hear it as the way it's going. So it has some warnings in it. And the warnings come really to bring this thing to us, to keep alert, but the warnings come to keep us out of error, from keep us getting deceived. And so what is happening in the churches, and there's so many things that are creeping in the churches that are untruthful, they're not biblical truth, and we don't want what is in the world to affect in the church. We want what is in the church to affect the world. And so it's a massive thing. And so we have to hear it rightly so we can affect those people out there, because God loves them and we love them. And so when it says here about, I say to you that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. This is very important. It is warning them not to go back. And so you can see this picture of this horse that Sonia drew once over a period of time on a Sunday, and it's from Galatians 1 and Galatians 5 verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not return to a yoke of slavery. So when Christ sets you free, you don't want to go back to the world's way, into the ways of the Gentiles do. So all it means is Gentiles, if you don't understand that. It means people who do not believe in God. That's all it means. And the futility of their minds, all it means is that their minds were ineffective. Their minds were, I guess you could say, empty. And you will understand that, because before you met Jesus Christ, there was a void in you. Because before I met Jesus, there was a void in me. There was like a hole in my heart that couldn't be filled with anything. You try to go look it by your appearance, by going to pubs, by filling it in relationships, in all sorts of ways, by money. People go thinking that the more money they have, the more secure they'll feel. But nothing fills that void like Jesus Christ. And when people are depressed and they're anxious, there's nobody who is the best medicine and the best cure for that but Jesus. And so we don't want to go back into something that Jesus Christ has brought us out of. And so he's warning the church, don't go back into those dark areas. And when he says this, it's really, really important. He says it's due to the hardness of their heart. It's just maybe me, but it's a passion of mine. And it's been a passion of mine for years and years. You see, religion says that God is interested in the exterior. Is interested in what is going on the outside. So when I was in a church years ago, it was all about how you dressed. It was many, many years ago. It was when I was small. And I can say it was quite legalistic. So dear me, if anybody had come in with a tattoo or their ears pierced, they would have been like, oh, off with the head. But Jesus is not concerned with the outward appearances. He's interested in our hearts. And you must really, really, really understand that this morning. He is interested in your heart. Because when your heart gets hardened, let me tell you, you'll be taken out and deceived very easily into some things that are not the truth. And so we have to keep our hearts soft. And if we understand this, we have to pay great attention to the gospel. This is where it all starts from. Because when you understand, there's many people in churches that get very excited about a lot of things. But I get excited about my sins that have been forgiven. So people can get excited about the power of God and they want to shout and they want to scream. But when we understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross, what the blood shed for us means over our life, that Jesus took our filthy rags, he took all our sin, and what he gave us is a robe and a ring. He gave us his robe of righteousness. He declared us right before the Father. Here he comes. And he gave us a ring. And he said, you belong to the God of heaven. And without your knowledge of that, you will always be like, you'll always feel insecure. So before all this happened, Jesus came looking for you. So if you've come this morning and you've never been to church before, I want to tell you, it's not just because you chose to walk through the doors. God is calling you. God is calling you to himself. And it's called the doctrine of predestination. I know that's a big word, but it's that he came looking for us. And then what God did, he took our heart of stone and he made it into a heart of flesh so we could respond to him in repentance and faith. And it's all God, you've got to understand. And then he justified us. And this is what he did at justification. When he justified us, he declared, he shouted out of the heaven, you are my children. Now you belong to me. And he gave you some new things. He gave you a new heart. And he gave you a new mind. He gave you new emotions. He just gave you new of everything. His glory is like that God. He does new things with us. And and what he did at that moment, he said, you are holy because I am holy. And so he paused this wonderful love. Do you know how much you have been loved? I want to ask you that question. When you think upon the cross, do you know how much you are loved? Because if you know how much you are loved, when we sing praises like this morning, you'll do exactly what Steve said. You'll do it with all the passion of your heart. If you truly know that you are loved. And you see, God's love is very pure. And it's untainted. He just doesn't love us for the things that we get right or the things that we get wrong. His love is unconditional. So whether you've had this bad week or a good week, God's love is lavished over you this morning. And I just want you to take a breath somewhere and receive that, because it's so important. So wherever you are, God loves you. And when you know that, you'll understand that it's holy, holy, holy love. It's a love from the God of heaven. And what happens is when you love, it will do something to your soul, I can tell you, and you'll want to respond. And so when it can't come any other way, I just want to tell you this. I've tried to do it this other way that I'm going to tell you about. So in your position, in your justified position, you are declared holy, right? So you need to hear this very, very carefully. So you are declared holy. So that's yours, because you have the right now to go right into the throne room of God with confidence and with boldness. Not because of the things you've done or that you deserve it, that you can go boldly up there. And so every day when every week when we come in, and every single day that you have time with Jesus, you can boldly go to that throne room. And when we start to understand what it means to be dressed in these heavenly clothes, because Jesus has dressed us with heavenly clothes, and now we have to live like we've got these heavenly clothes on. And this is the key. So here it says, assuming that you have heard him and were taught in him as the truth as is in Jesus. So when, this is the practical thing, that the spiritual thing, when you understand all that Jesus has done, what you do is that your heart is actually bursting. It's bursting with love. So when we hear the word of God and it says obey, 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 to me that's not enough. And you might take a little gasp, because without love, obedience is just somebody that's strong-willed and somebody that is maybe very religious and dutiful. But I'll tell you what that will lead to. It will lead you to you having no joy. And it'll lead you to lifelessness. Because without love, which we all need, without the love that we have for the gospel, for what Jesus has done, that he has forgiven your sins, we won't be able to obey as he's called us to obey. And when it says to put off, it's something that we have to do. So it's called the progression of sanctification. And we have to do something in receipt of what God's done for us first. And if you get this confused, you will be in a very, very bad way. Because there is doctrines that are going round in churches that say all you need to do is know your position, your justified state, and shout, I'm holy. Well, that is not the truth of this scripture. The truth of the scripture is that we've got to put off and we've got to put on. And so there's something that we also have to do. So we have to know and remind ourselves, we are dressed in the heavenly clothes. We are Christ's. We are living from the heavenly realm. We have the Holy Spirit's power. He has said to us, he has given us all power and all authority over all darkness and over the demons. Well, I want to tell you, that means in your life also. That means in your life. So you have all the power. Because Christ is living in you and the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. So you are not lifeless in this Christian walk. And you can be victorious. So you can't say that there's a sin that has defeated you, and you can't say, well, this is who I am and this is just what I do, because you're not your own anymore. You belong to Jesus Christ, living in the heavenly realm with heavenly clothes. And so you have to remind yourself every day, this is who I am, and I've got to put on, I've got to practice something. So I'm going to tell you this very funny thing, because you maybe don't know, but intellectually, I didn't do very well at school. You might know that by the way I'm speaking, but anyway. But I'm passionate about Jesus, and that's all he's bothered about. So I looked up what a verb means. So Paul says all these doing words. So that's what a verb is, if you didn't know, but that's what it is. And but this is what it said. A verb brings action, emotion, and movement to a sentence. And without verbs, nothing happens. Verbs move story people both literally and emotionally. And without verbs, characters and stories go nowhere. Well, you have to ask yourself, like I do, am I moving along? Is my story moving along? Is there growth? Is there maturity? Is the Holy Spirit actually challenging me and moving me and changing me? Because next week when I speak about grieve not the Holy Spirit, you'll understand why some of you maybe aren't moving. Because we can never, ever ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so really what I want to say today is this. It's about our conduct. So in 1 Peter, I want to, 1 Peter 1, verse, I'll read from verse 13. Therefore, this is what Peter says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so he's called you in position, he's declared to you that you are holy, that you are his. But you also be holy, listen what it says, in all your conduct. And so there is some things in our life which we all know that are fleshly. And the flesh and the spirit, it says in the word, sometimes are battling. And we are not to have the practice of sinning. We will still sin this side of heaven. But to practice sin is means that you habitually do something repeatedly. And it says that really the practice of sinning is that you have got no conscience of its wrongness. So you have no sensitivity that sin is wrong. That is the practice of sinning. Well, I can honestly tell you, I doubt if there's anybody in here that practices sinning. We do maybe do something and we fall short of the glory of God. But let me tell you, you'll know if you have the Holy Spirit, because you will feel grieved. You will have something, it may be in the things that you say or the things that you do or the things that you're thinking. But we've got to practice this righteousness and holiness, and we've got to make it our practice. And so in 1 John, this is a really serious thing, because this is what I'm saying. If you do not understand this, your Christian walk will be all over the place. And so in 1 John 2... it says this, it's a very, very serious piece of scripture. It's verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him. So we've got to stay close. We've got to love him. So that when he appears, we have confidence and not shrink back from him in shame at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So it is the evidence of a believer That is the evidence of a believer, that you will continue to grow in holiness. You will continue to put off some of those things that are fleshly. You will say no to sin and to say yes to Jesus. Now, I'm just going to explain this to you very briefly, and then we're going to finish, because this is very important. We were praying in the back this morning, work with Jacob, and Jacob just started praying and he said, "Jesus, I'm really in love with you." You see, you might not even be able to say that you love Jesus this morning, but being in love with Jesus has got something very, very different about it. So the difference that it has is in one word, it's in. And we can be without the in. Because when you're in it 100%. You're in it to give Jesus your all. You're in it to be 100% committed to him. You're in it to surrender him. You're in it because you love him so much that you make the practice of worshipping him in your daily walk. You make the practice of praying to him in your daily walk. You make the practice of asking the Holy Spirit to come over your life. You made the practice of loving other people. You made the practice of serving, what Dave called to us last week, because of the love of Christ within you. You made the practice of going to tell somebody else about Jesus. You made this practice. Do you understand? But without this verb, without this move, your story will be a dead story. You'll be just people there that are lifeless. And without being in love with Jesus, you'll be able to take Jesus or leave him. And you'll always be about the two opinions. You'll have a foot in the world and you'll have a foot with God. And you'll always be doing a bit of both. And Jesus doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to be in love with him. Because let me tell you, church, he's raised the bar for us. This is not a church that's playing Christianity. This is church that means what we say. And we are who we say we are. So there's many people, and over the years I've heard it, that can quote all the scripture. That can shout the loudest. But if you're not living like Jesus, and he can see your heart, all the shouting and all the saying all the scripture you know doesn't mean anything to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean anything to him. Because we've got to live and practice this righteousness and holiness, because we have come to a holy, holy God. And what has happened in the churches, I believe, is there is a lot of the fear of the Lord is out of the church. And so that fear isn't like we're terrified to come in, but we know the reverence and the holiness of the word of God over our hearts and lives, and that we bow to it. And so that's all I want to say to you this morning, but I want to ask you some questions. Maybe just close your eyes for a few moments, because I don't want to give you so much that you can't absorb in the things that the Holy Spirit wants to say to you. And I want to ask you, are you in this relationship? Are you present? Do you make the practice of loving Jesus your daily walk? Do you make the practice of worship and prayer and reading the Word of God? Do you make the practice of living holy and righteous before a holy God? Do you make the practice of the understanding that you have got all the holiness of Jesus upon you, and you've just got to look like him? And so that means you've got to put some things away. And so the people here today, you know the Holy Spirit has been saying some things to you. You know those little dark areas that you keep going back to. And I knew those dark areas in my life until Jesus freed me, that I kept going back to in addiction. And there's people here that you know that God has said the no to, and you will not be able to obey it unless your heart is full of love for the gospel and what Jesus has done for you. You will never be able to obey it because we pour something out. And I just want to ask you this morning, have you neglected this truth of the gospel? Because we don't want to be a people that are not paying close attention. We are not a people that want to be drifting away from the truth of what our Jesus poured out, because he gave us everything when he died on that cross for us. He took all your shame and he took all your sin, and he declared you are right before the Father because of the precious blood that he shed for you. And we just want to say, Jesus, today we are so, so thankful. Our hearts are full of adoration. Our hearts are full of praise for you. And we say thank you, Lord, that you have justified us. Thank you, you have declared us right before you. But because of what you've done for us, we say, Jesus, today, we want our hearts to be full of love and full of obedience for the word of God. And so we put off those things, just maybe name them before God today. We put off those things that we know, God, you're saying the no's to. And we say we choose to put them off because we've not been called to be those people anymore like the unbelievers. We've been called to live from the heavenly places with you, lovely Christ Jesus. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would come in this moment and fill us afresh. Give us the power. Give us the power to be able to say no. Give us the passion to be able to say no. Give us that desire in our hearts for more of Jesus. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, help us to be in love with Jesus. Because as we're in love with Jesus, you are honoured, Father. And you are honoured, Holy Spirit. So we just say thank you for that this morning. And I just as we stay in this place, I had a sense that I saw this diversion sign. And sometimes when me and Dave go on our days off, we're going on a little trip somewhere, and it is a very annoying, as you do know, in a car, when you see a diversion and the way that you thought round you were going, you can't get that way round. You have to go on a longer way round, and it usually is a lot longer than what you would have done. And I felt that God was saying, for some people here, the enemy is trying to divert you by putting a diversion sign up for you to return, keep returning back to something you know that Jesus has set you free from. And Jesus is saying, today, you need to listen that I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no diversion signs in my kingdom. There's only the word of God that guides and leads us. And so we need to stop looking at these diversion signs and going off somewhere, because it's going to lead to darkness. It's going to lead to death. It's going to lead to the practice of sin. And God doesn't want us to be there, because he said, I brought you out of that. You are a new creation. And so we just pray that you would come, Holy Spirit. And maybe, Teresa, is it all right if we just maybe just sing another song, and we'll just end with this? You know what I'm like. If there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're thinking today, I'd like to know a little bit more. And if you're thinking to yourself, maybe I need to give my life to Jesus, because let me tell you today, this is what it is. We have a promise in Christ Jesus of coming out of darkness into his marvellous light, and we have the promise of eternity with him. And the other side of it is you've got darkness and gloom, and you've only got the assurance of help. Now, let me tell you, I know which one I'd rather choose. So if you don't know him this morning and you want to know a little bit more, you know, maybe come out at the end and just speak to somebody. But let's just pour our worship onto Jesus and let's just love him this morning. Is that all right, Teresa?